comes down into the house tonight and helps us, because what I'm going to be talking about here in a few minutes now, this is probably one of the most important messages that I've brought this year, probably in a long time. And I'll be dealing with September the 23rd. That's important. Father, we pray your blessing. Pray you'd give this messenger, Lord, unction. Give me wisdom. And Father, we pray you'd open the hearts of the people to receive the word, the truth, those that are watching, those that will watch it later. I pray you'd bless it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and get into the text. If you have 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 51. The scripture says this, 1 Corinthians 15, 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. Well, the coming of Christ is no mystery. So what we have here is something that is a mystery. He said, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We, of course, there's reference to born-again believers in 1 Corinthians 15. He's not talking to the unsaved. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Father, bless this holy word now. In thy name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. Now, folks, 1973, when I got saved, I hadn't studied the Bible long before I believed in the rapture of the church. Amen. I became premillennial. I became that by studying the scripture. I haven't changed one bit. I still believe the same things that relates to the rapture of the church. Of course, I know a whole lot more now about eschatology than I did then. But I've watched some things come and go down through the years. And sometimes I marvel at how quickly people remove themselves from the Bible just to get off into a lot of things, stuff. There is a pastor in South Africa who says that God has given him a clear vision. He said he saw Jesus sitting on the throne, and I could hear him very loud and clear saying, I'm coming soon. The pastor added, he said to me on the 23rd and the 24th of September 25, I will come back to the earth. All right, these are his words. And this is from South Africa. Now, a lot of people, when stuff like this happens, gets real excited. Let me say this tonight. I want you to please understand. I mention this all the time, long before this ever started. I look for the coming of the Lord every day. Amen. I look for the rapture all the time. It's called the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. If he came in the next 5 seconds, that'd be fine with me. Amen. And so I look for him. And when I think that the Lord may come the 23rd day of September, I think, well, that's a wonderful thing. But he may come before the 23rd day of September. I read one man said, he absolutely will not come on the 23rd of September. And this, of course, is in reaction to the fact that someone said he would. Well, you're setting a date too. Neither one of you know. Right. He may come the 23rd, he may not. But you're not going to tell me he's not coming, just as much as you cannot tell me he is coming. You don't know the date. But the bottom line is that it's the responsibility of a pastor to try to help in things like this. But I'm sure some people, maybe a few out there, would like to know my opinion on this and what I think about it. And this, is, of course, is not something that I've just started to study. There are 7 Jewish feast days in the Bible, 7 of them. Now, there's 2 more added because of their history, and that they're not in Scripture, but the event was in Scripture. But the 7 are Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, and Pentecost, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. Rosh Hashanah is the Feast of Trumpets. And you have read in 1 Corinthians 15 that the trump shall sound. And so a lot of people connect Rosh Hashanah with that trumpet for that very reason. Well, I'm not going to tell you that it can't be the Feast of Trumpets, because that's setting a date also. I don't know when it's going to be, but the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the rapture needs to be understood like this. The second coming of Christ is preceded by a lot of events. You've got a 7-year tribulation. You've got a peace agreement that's signed. You've got the manifestation of the Antichrist. You've got a lot of things that are happening. It's obvious to anyone. But the rapture of the church is a mystery that can take place at any time. Nothing has to happen right now for the rapture to take place. It could take place at any moment. The Greek word harpazo simply means to reach down, take hold, and snatch away. But there is an enormous amount of information and interest out there right now about the rapture because of some of the things that have been said, for example, like this South African pastor. And here's the thing that they're connecting it with. Let me give you three. First of all is the Feast of Trumpets, Rosh Hashanah. They're saying that this year, Rosh Hashanah falls on the 23rd day of September, which is good because a couple of other things are falling simultaneous with that. And that's this, that they're meeting to determine what needs to be done to bring peace to the Holy Land. And so therefore, they're going to demand a two-state solution, like that is a solution. It's a solution to nothing. But they're going to demand a two-state solution, which of course is a peace agreement. And reading Daniel chapter number 9, he comes in by peace, the Antichrist. All right, this is the UN. They're going to be meeting to do that. Another thing that is coinciding with this is what's called a blood moon. Now, we went through the blood moon scenario a couple of years ago. All the blood moons showed up. When I first came to Temple in 1976, there was a lot of talk. I'd never heard anything about it before. I'd only been saved 3 years. About the alignment of the planets. How many's ever heard of that? Alignment of the planets. Well, now, this is not a rare occasion. Fact is, it happens quite often. The alignment of the planets. And with some folks here at Temple were real fired up over that. 24/7, that's all they could talk about, was the alignment of the planets. Well, that was 50 years ago almost. And of course, it came and it went and nothing happened. And so this blood moon, they quote the book of Joel chapter 2, verse 31, the sun shall be turned to darkness, the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. All right, but the day of the Lord is not the day of Christ. They are entirely two different things. They are not the same. There is a period of time that they run consecutively. They run together. Yes, they do. The day of Christ spreads out over 7 years, winds up at the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. Yes, it does. But the day of the Lord runs 1,007 years. It's a lot longer. And it's something that's clearly prophesied in the Old Testament. So the blood moon, the dates for the first one is March 14, 1920 or 2025. Then the second blood moon is September the 7th, 2025. So we just had that a couple of days ago. All right. Now, I've been sitting on the porch looking at this bright, and I mean it has been an exceptionally bright moon. You can see the shadows, moon shadows. It's quite a remarkable thing. There is other material available that some people are talking about, the Virgo, planet Virgo, or the constellation Virgo, and how the certain stars are lining up in certain places, and they can get real complicated with this. But they say this happened 8 years ago, and that it's happening again now, which is eight means new beginning. So it's an odd thing that you've got all of these things lining up at the same time. And of course, this would be exciting for people. Now, am I going to tell you tonight that the rapture does not take place September the 23rd? Absolutely not. I'd be setting a date. There's no way in the world that I'm going to say that. Do I hope it comes September the 23rd? Yes, but it wouldn't make me mad if it was the 22nd or the 21st, the 20th. I wanted to make my position very clear on this. I am not anti coming of the Lord Jesus and the rapture. I just don't sign up with dates. I've got a problem with date setting, and I'll show you why in a few minutes. For example, let me give you one reason right now for you to think about. The second coming of Christ, as I said a moment ago, comes at the end of the 7-year tribulation period. which is accompanied by a lot of signs, a lot of things. Two witnesses show up in the tribulation. You got all this stuff happening to the earth. And I mean, it's 7 years of it. It's, you know, and the Lord said, except those days be shortened, no flesh should be left alive. So at the end of that period of time, the heavens open and Christ comes back. That's the second advent. All right, that's the second coming of Christ. It's easy to get the second coming of Christ mixed up with the rapture and try to take signs that point to the second coming and make them point to the rapture. And you got to be careful with that. Now let me give you a few warnings tonight, okay? Like I said a moment ago, I'm not telling you it's not going to happen. But what I am telling you tonight is there's not a soul walking the face of this earth who knows when the rapture is going to take place. How many of you have ever heard of the Great Disappointment of 1844? It was a remarkable event. A man by the name of William Miller had, and he was very charismatic. In other words, he could speak. Speak well, he drew people to himself. They listened to him. And he had picked a date of October the 22nd, 1844. The Lord was going to come back. People believed him by the tens of thousands. As a matter of fact, over 100,000 people had gathered together in 1844, October the 22nd, to see the coming of the Lord. Now, back then, that's a pile of people. And he didn't come. And it brought on enormous amount of emotional distress. Some folks abandoned their faith. They walked out of the church, never to return. But from it, the Seventh-day Adventist movement started. And every time that someone sets a date for the second coming of Christ, something comes out of it. Now, I want to put that in your mind right now. Something comes of it. And so this happened, and it happened. Now, Miller officially renounced prophecy studies afterwards, eventually dying 5 years after his false prophecy. My question is this: did Mr. Miller ever repent and publicly confess and repent for his sin of going against what the book says? Did he ever show any humility? Did he ever do it? No, he didn't. As far as we know, he didn't do it. Now, how many's ever heard of the Watchtower Society? That's the Jehovah's Witness. They are some of the most notorious date setters that ever lived, because it's one date after another date after another date after another date. 1925 was a huge date, but it didn't work out the way they said it was going to. But for this one thing, and I'll cover that in just a moment, didn't work out. But I'll show you something, how the way these things develop. Now, a fellow by the name of Huisnant, Edgar C. Huisnant, he was a NASA engineer. He boldly and confidently declared that Jesus would return in 1988, saying, quote, "Only if the Bible is in error am I wrong." So, I mean, he was convinced that he was right. And I got the book. I was here. I got a book free. It was mailed to me. 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come in 88. And imagine, you know, I don't know if any of you ever got that book. I don't know where it is, but I did. 88 Reasons Why Christ Will Come in 1988. Well, he didn't return in 1988. And what I found on the internet says that this man went on to readjust his calculations to 1989, 1993, and 1994, each with its own book. So they redo the date. That's not uncommon, because that's exactly what the Jehovah's Witnesses did, and that's what the Millerites did. Same thing. They redo the date. Now, a man by the name of Harold Camping. The reason I'm giving you these are in the last couple of hundred years. It goes much further than that, but just to give you an idea of what you're looking at. 1994, he predicted the end of the world would come September the 6th, 1994. Well, it didn't. Then it was revised to September the 29th, 1994. and then October the 2nd, 1994, and then finally May the 21st, 2011. And it never happened, of course. Mr. Camping had a stroke, and I have nothing personal against any of these men. I'm simply using this as a witness and a testimony and to try to instruct. As far as their personal relationship with the Lord is concerned, that's between them and God. That's not my place to judge any of that. My responsibility is to try to show you how stuff like this works, because this is important. All of these dates did not come to pass. They didn't come to fruition. And Mr. Camping had a stroke and passed away. I don't know if he ever said anything about if he felt sorry or anything like that for setting all of these dates. And on it goes. Now let me give you some of the fruit of missed dates, okay? Let's say you set a date, September the 23rd. Now watch it, this will happen. What'll be very important here, if you don't meet me by the river, the 23rd. So what if you're wrong, preacher? Well, I'd rejoice to be wrong like you wouldn't believe. I'd be the happiest wrong person you ever saw in your life. You see, I'm not wrong because I'm not telling you he's not coming the 23rd. And if somebody goes out and says, I said he's not coming, you're wrong. You're misrepresenting what I'm saying. But what if we're here the 24th of September? What if he doesn't come the 23rd of September? Well, from what I've found in these groups that name dates, that give dates for the second coming, it produces a lot of heresy. Heretical groups come of it. They do. It stirs people up and drives people away from the Bible into all kinds of other things. They're disappointed. Their faith is shaken. Some of them even abandon the faith in Christ. It breaks lives. Some of those people in 1844 especially quit their jobs, sold their property, gave everything they had to that ministry, and then he didn't come. There they are, broke and destitute. And maybe some of that may be happening right now if you buy into it. But here's something you can expect to happen. And I've got a little thing up here. I don't know where it is, somewhere up here. Yeah, there it is. I'm not going to show you. I want you to come up here and look at it when I get done. It's a little graphic as it relates to naming the date or calling, saying that the Lord is going to come back and he doesn't come back. In other words, it brings on public ridicule. If the Lord doesn't come back the 23rd of September, you can believe the 24th of September that these secular news sites are going to be saying, I told you so. You bunch of fanatic, religious fanatics, you've picked a date, he didn't come back, and you want me to be part of your faith? Oh yeah, believe me, and it's going to happen if the Lord doesn't come back the 23rd of September. And then finally, it's an opportunity for Satan. Now, this is what's most important about this tonight. It's an opportunity for Satan. Say, how is that so? The Watchtower Bible Society set all of these different dates. They began to change what it meant for the Lord to come back. Here's what they said about 1874. When he was supposed to come back in 1874, he did not appear visibly, but here's what they said. They said, he came invisibly. His presence was invisible. You couldn't see him visibly, but he was here in a different way. He came back, and obviously, he empowered the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Watchtower Bible and Tract Society. Now, what if they say, after September the 23rd, on the 24th of September, oh, he came back. He came back the 23rd. He just didn't come back the way you thought he was going to come back. Now, what did the Lord say about that? Do you remember what they said in the book of Acts, chapter number 1? This same Jesus, as you have seen him go, shall what? Come again in like manner. He's not coming as an invisible spirit. He's coming in like manner. So when he comes for his bride is going to meet him in the clouds. Yes. They're not going to meet him on this earth. They're going to meet him in the clouds. They're caught up together with him in the clouds, in the air, to meet with the Lord, to be with the Lord. But it would be an excellent opportunity the day after the rapture is to say, well, the rapture took place, and spin it. Now, why would they do that? Because we are getting close to the appearing of the Antichrist, and we are getting closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are getting closer to the second advent. There's too much happening to just pass this off as nothing. Exactly. We are. Have you ever seen a time like this? Oh, no, no. No, no, no. And this peace agreement of September the 23rd may fit directly into what I'm talking about. No question about that. And it's enough that I'm giving you enough tonight for you to begin to think. God has his way. He always warns people. He prepares people. And he wants them to look. Don't be foolish. So the Jehovah's Witnesses in 1874 said that Jesus came back invisibly, and his invisible presence is here. So I'm going to watch for this, and this is what you ought to do. Now, if we go on the 23rd, you don't need to watch for anything. I'll see you. I'll meet you there. But if we're here the 24th, start watching for what comes out of this, because this is one of the biggest buzzes I've seen since I've been around. They're really fired up over it. Watch what comes out of it, because something is happening and going to happen. How many of you have ever heard of Charlie Kirk? Most of you have. Well, you know what happened to him today? He was murdered. By the way, if you didn't know it, that's why God made hell. He made it for murderers. So if you got it in your mind that you're going to go out and murder people, get ready to burn. That's where he puts murderers. But have you noticed when President Trump, last year in Pennsylvania, standing on that stage, and that old boy fired off a 223, wasn't it? He fired off a 223, and it caught the bottom of his ear, and it hit him. I heard a woman yesterday said, oh, they didn't really shoot him. That's why you're not on TV anymore. We don't want to get mean personal, but that's why they fired you. They did shoot him. He could have died just like Mr. Kirk did today. They were going for his head. They got his ear. And he noticed, he turned to look up at something. And he said he seldom ever did that. And then when he turned to look up at it, that round went right by and caught the edge of his ear. If he hadn't turned, it caught his head. And of course, that would have killed him right on the spot. I feel so sorry tonight for this man's family, his widow, a young woman, two little beautiful little children, a beautiful family. And some murdering devil out there now has killed him. Well, they'll find him. They'll find him. He won't get away with it. They'll catch him. But here's the thing, the point I'm trying to make. Things are happening to let you know that this country is ready for something. It's being prepared for something, right? Yes, it is. It's being prepared for something. Yes, sir. And if we don't go up the 23rd, don't ever let anybody tell you Preacher Lawson says the Lord's not coming back the 23rd. I'm not saying he is and he ain't. I hope he does. But what I am telling you is to be careful, because I'm going to read some scripture for you. What does the Bible say? Look at Matthew chapter number 24 and verse number 36. Now this is what the book says. Matthew 24. And verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but who? My Father only. Now, if you go back, here's some interesting thing. Matthew 24, verse 26. Matthew 24, 26. Look at this now. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Now watch this. Behold, he is in the secret chamber. believe it not. See the confusion? How would they do this? Well, he's here. No, he's not. He's over there. Wait a minute. Then how did he come back? Who are we looking for? See the confusion? See the point? Running you here, running you there? That's what the scripture's saying. Look out for that. Matthew chapter number 25, in verse number 13. Matthew 25, 13. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Now, that means me, that means you, that means everybody. They don't know the day, folks. They don't know the hour. And then I say this to you tonight. The Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the resurrection and the life. All right? The hour is coming when all in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. The Lord Jesus Christ is the resurrection. God the Father has 1,000 ways to deceive Satan. He has 10,000 ways that he could deceive anything or anyone. And when he gets ready to do what he's going to do, he's going to do it. And Satan won't know it. He will bring his son back. Yes, he will. And he will catch up the bride to meet him in the clouds. That's going to happen. Sure as you'd stand there tonight, and it's a blessed hope. And I get excited about it. And I have a certain amount of excitement about the 23rd of September. Yes. It doesn't make me mad to think that he may come the 23rd of September. But what I'm trying to do is prepare you for the 24th of September. Are you following me now? So if tonight you're worked up about the 23rd, that's fine. But don't get worked up to the point to where you're going to get let down the 24th if he doesn't come back. Don't let that happen to you. Look every day for his appearing. That's why it's called the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. But this right here is one of the most remarkable things that I've seen in a long time. And I'm going to be mean. I'm not going to let you see it. You're going to have to come up here and look at it on the pulpit. I'm going to leave it laying right here. And when you see it, you're going to get a kick out of it. You really are. It's quite remarkable. Father, bless your word tonight. I pray for instruction, help. I pray for those that are looking for the coming of the Lord the 23rd. I pray they're right. But Lord, they may not be right. We don't know the day. We may be here the 24th of September. And Father, if we don't go the 23rd of September, I'm not going to turn around and get mad at you and walk out the door and kick and scream and stomp. I want to go on looking for the coming of the Lord. You told us in the Word that we don't know. We can't calculate it. It making a difference how good we are with calculations and figures. We do not know, and we cannot decipher that, because the Scripture says you're the only one that knows. So I pray, Father, I pray you'd bless them. And when I say tonight, even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. Hallelujah. Come, Lord, come. But as far as I'm concerned, you don't have to wait till the 23rd. You can come right now. You can come right now. In your holy name I pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you, folks. I say again, please pray for Charlie Kirk's family, his widow. He was 31 years old. 31. I was 47 when he was born. See the difference in age? How much longer I've been here than he has? 31. He's 31 years old. I've got a granddaughter that's older than that. 31 years old. So pray for him, his family. All right. Does anybody else have a request tonight?